We're getting toward the end of the month. That means bills are coming due again in this time of COVID. The question for many people around New Mexico is, where are those checks the feds have been promising? That unemployment, that stimulus money, that small business relief, that food assistance. This is your New Mexico government. I'm your host, Khalil A. Colonna. Today, we talk with government officials, organizers, and the self-employed as we all, as a good friend of mine would say, wait on that check. More on that later, but first up, executive producer Marisa DeMarco has a news rundown of what we know today, Tuesday, April 21st, as of 5 p.m.
Today, more than 2.5 million people around the world have been diagnosed with coronavirus, according to Johns Hopkins University. More than 170,000 people have died from COVID-19 globally. A quarter of those deaths happened in the United States. The CDC is warning that a second wave of coronavirus would be even more devastating because it could come next winter and coincide with flu season, according to the Washington Post, and this would put even more strain on the hospital systems. And the CDC is testing people who don't show symptoms in nursing homes in four states. New Mexico is one of them, the Post reports. Congress passed the second relief bill today, and it's likely President Trump will sign it, according to the New York Times. It's $484 billion, with $320 billion going to that Paycheck Protection Program for small businesses. It also has more money for hospitals and coronavirus testing. The state of New Mexico is demanding that all health insurance carriers cover the costs of any out-of-network treatment that results from COVID-19, effective immediately, according to a news release. And any surprise bills that pop up might result in a fine for those carriers. Today, there are 2,072 confirmed coronavirus cases in New Mexico, and the death toll reached 65. There are 119 people in the state hospitalized today for COVID-19. And the IRS gave some people who get federal benefits less than 48 hours to fill out an online form to access that $500 in stimulus money for each of their kids. That deadline is tomorrow, Wednesday, April 22nd at 10 a.m. Our host, Khalil A. Colonna, brings us more next. For your New Mexico government, I'm Marisa DeMarco.
Okay, so for information on a deadline that the IRS imposed, I'm on the line with Lindsay Cutler. She's from the New Mexico Center of Law and Poverty, where she's an economic equity lawyer. Lindsay, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Khalil.
Let me ask you, there's a super tight deadline, but just for some folks who are seeking that stimulus money for their dependents, who does this apply to and why only to them?
So this is an extremely difficult time for everyone in our community right now, but it is especially difficult for those who are unable to work and who have children. Yesterday, the Trump administration made it significantly more difficult for people who receive federal benefits, including Social Security, railroad retirement benefits, and veteran benefits, to receive the additional stimulus payment for their dependent children. It is very important right now that if you are a recipient of Social Security, veterans benefits, or railroad retirement benefits, and you have not filed taxes in 2018 or 2019, if you do have dependent children, by tomorrow at 10 a.m., you must fill out the form on the IRS website to get the additional stimulus payment for each of your children.
Okay. And what happens if people don't make this super tight deadline for 10 a.m. tomorrow?
So for recipients of Social Security, veterans of benefit, and railroad retirement benefits, they will receive the $1,200 stimulus check. However, if they do not file on the IRS portal by 10 a.m. tomorrow, they will not get the $500 stimulus for their children, and they will not have the opportunity to do so until next tax year.
They announced this yesterday. Why did it come about so suddenly?
You know, that's unclear, but what is clear is that a year is entirely too long to wait for an emergency benefit payment.
Yeah.
And this is, frankly, a completely unreasonable deadline. And unfortunately, it will leave many in our community without access to the $500 stimulus payment for their children, to which they're entitled.
And there's a good chance that people aren't going to get the word in time, as they're given less than 48 hours from the announcement. That's questionable, to say the least. What are the Center of Law and Poverty's concerns?
So our greatest concern is that as many people as possible, get this message and go to the IRS portal or to our homepage npoverty.org, where you can also find the link. And it's important to fill this out as soon as possible. Now, I will emphasize that, again, that this deadline is completely and utterly unreasonable, and there are so many people affected by the digital divide in New Mexico, yeah, who won't have access to the internet or access to or have an email address to be able to fill out this portal. But if you do and you have dependent children, it is so necessary that you do this as soon as possible.
Now, have you heard of any other community organizations or local government agencies jumping in to help?
This information is going out via many community organizations. New Mexico Legal Aid and the low-income taxpayer clinic there has been very vocal on the issue of helping people get their stimulus checks. And this is just an issue that will affect so many pockets of our state and so many people in our communities. And unfortunately, again, this deadline is completely unreasonable.
Do you think they may extend this deadline if there's enough pushback?
We have not heard anything from the IRS in terms of being able to push this deadline. The only announcement that we've heard is that Secretary Mnuchin published yesterday saying that this deadline was in place for people who receive those benefits and have dependent children.
I want to thank you for coming on to the show and for your efforts. She's Lindsay Cutler. She's an economic equity lawyer with the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty. Thank you again for coming on the show, and please come back with us for any updates.
Thank you.
Earlier today, I spoke with Jared Ebenreck, a massage therapist and host of the Anything Goes radio show on KUNM. He talked about the struggles he's having with the unemployment system. Here are a few of his thoughts.
I just went through a thing on the Workforce Solutions site, which is just continues to be this wormhole of vapid efforts, because half the time it's crashing.
Yeah.
So if you can even try to get through to complete your application, it's, you know, it's crashing as you do it, rebooting you out and making you start over again. So that's already just, you know, for a lot of people I know, like hours of burnt time. There's this idea that you have to apply for unemployment insurance, get rejected in order to end up in the queue to be accepted for the pandemic unemployment assistance when they integrated in. Which is totally counterintuitive and not what the website says. And the frustration is that there's too many mixed messages. A lot of this is trickled down from the feds, from what I'm seeing in the coverage of it, simply that the instructions have been very difficult for states to decipher how to integrate us, self-employed people, 1099ers, into their existing unemployment insurance models. So the legislation was passed 3 weeks ago, but none of us are seeing a dime. The state did the self-employed stimulus plan. Well, that was another example of the same issue. So me and several people I know that were coworkers would try to apply on the Wednesday. They announced it at like 1:30. I heard about it at 3:30. Tried to apply. The system was just crash, crash, crash. And then they flash up a thing that says, we're pulling it down. Too many glitches. We'll announce it on Thursday when it's ready to run. So all of us spend all day Thursday, like I'm refreshing my browser every 20 minutes to see if the message changes. So my whole day is built around seeing if I can, you know, be one of these first 2000 running at the gate. You know, it feels like they opened up like a Black Friday kind of thing. And so at 3:50, it's announced that it's on. Get in, crash, boot it out, try to log back in, 401, all the money's gone. So there's like a window of maybe 10 minutes. I don't know who got the money. I get a little bit of good news, like, okay, so they passed the stimulus package. But then it's 3 weeks, can't apply, can't get in. Maybe it starts to happen in the next week or so from all the local coverage about it. But even there, then you still have to get approved before the money starts rolling. Yeah. And my biggest concern is that we're at another end of the month.
Yes.
So I don't understand how this isn't working or why they're not canceling rent and mortgages. I just don't hear that being discussed enough. And all the people I know, oh my goodness, I do not. Most of them, when they talk to me, they might feel confident for a month or two. But after that, it gets pretty sketchy with these monthly bills.
Yeah.
And the way it's set up right now is you can't be evicted. But there's a potential that once they say it reopens, you owe it as a lump sum.
Yeah.
There's no protection.
That was Jared Ebenreck, massage therapist and host of the Anything Goes radio show here on KUNM. With me now is Cabinet Secretary for the Department of Workforce Solutions, Secretary Bill McCamley. Thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you very much for having me, Khalil.
Since March 13th, President Trump announced the state of emergency for the country. 22 million people have applied for unemployment. Has those numbers been bigger than anyone has imagined here in the state of New Mexico?
We've had a lot of people apply for unemployment, and we need to remember that the reason for that is simple. We want to keep people safe and keep people healthy. What unemployment has allowed a lot of folks to do is get the monetary resources that they need to stay home as we work our way through this pandemic.
I know many people personally who are struggling to get any basic information for unemployment. They've applied since the stay-at-home orders began, and some people I know are still without any benefits. What is being done? Is that a matter of the system being overloaded?
Yes, yeah, so we're working on some fixes to that. And there's two things that I'd like to point out that we're doing to help people more. The first is we've started what we're calling an auto adjudication process. We're starting to approve people in groups rather than one by one. And that has allowed us to get more people into the system. So as an example, we got about 19,000 people that weren't receiving benefits last week starting to receive benefits this week. And we're going to continue that process. Secondly, we've added a lot more people to our phone lines. We understand that there's been a lot of frustration with people trying to call into our system. So we're up to, you know, over 200 people answering calls. We've been able to expand our hours from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. We are asking people to call on a certain day in order to help volume. So if the last digit of your social security number is 0 to 3, please call on Monday. 4 to 6, please call on Tuesday. 7 to 9, please call on Wednesday, with Thursday and Friday being for those folks who either couldn't get through or missed their day. That'll help us reduce volume and help us talk to more people. So you'll start to see this week that a lot more people that were in the system are going to start receiving their benefit.
Now, if somebody who was in the system and hasn't been receiving benefits, are they going to receive benefits from the past when they made their claim 2 to 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, most people should be able to get their benefits from when they made their first claim, as long as they remember to certify. That is something that is very important. The process requires us to ask people to every single week go online to jobs.state.nm.us and fill out a small form saying, hey, I'm still out of work. That process is called certification. The federal government requires that you do that. So if you haven't certified, you need to certify. If you do that, we should be able to pay you for those weeks.
That's good to hear. Now, let me ask a question about identity theft and fraud. I have a friend who is struggling to get any type of information about his claim. He's been at this, almost had a meltdown over the weekend. When he did get a response, he was told that a claim has already been received that has his Social Security number. What can the state do to protect people and solve identity theft occurrences?
People in that situation really need to call in and talk to somebody. And like I said, we are doing everything we can to increase the amount of people that we have on the phones to help answer those questions. The other thing that people need to be very, very careful about are scammers. So we started receiving reports of text messages going out asking people to give them back their benefit numbers. They should never do that. No one will ever ask by text for your benefit number. Furthermore, there are people out there selling services, I'll help you apply for unemployment. That really shouldn't happen, and people should be on the lookout for those kind of efforts and report them to our office or report them to the state auditor.
He is the Secretary for the Department of Workforce Solutions, Secretary Bill McCamley. Thank you so much for being with me.
You're very welcome, Khalil.
This is Your NM Government. I'm your host, Khalil A. Colonna. Every weekday, we're covering the way the virus and health measures are impacting people differently around the state. Stay tuned in weeknights at 7:30 p.m. Did you get your check? We want to hear what's happening with you. Leave us a message and we can roll it into our shows next week. Call 505-218-7084 and share your story, or email us, yournmgov@gmail.com. Now, for a better understanding of how this is affecting small businesses and what small businesses can expect, I'm on the line with Russell Weirich. He's the Executive State Director of New Mexico's Small Business Development Center. Russell, thanks for being with me today.
Thank you. Glad to join you.
So let me ask, do you have any estimate of how many small businesses in New Mexico did not get those federal relief dollars during the first round of funding?
It's a really challenging question to answer. We do know how many did receive to date or that were approved, but we don't have those, the number of those that were declined or are still holding in the process line.
The last round of relief money for small businesses dried up last week, and millions went to national chains and publicly traded businesses. Is there anything your agency can do to ensure that the federal funds get to small businesses in New Mexico?
I think larger businesses just had the technical expertise. You know, they had attorneys that worked for them. They had people that could move very rapidly to put their applications together, get them into the banks they had existing relationships with across the U.S. and get this through. And I think the smaller businesses, as we move down in size, you know, they're not equipped. They don't have an attorney on staff. Some of them have never taken out a loan before. Those that already had existing relationships with lenders have taken out loans before, probably got through the queue a little bit quicker in regards to getting their application in line.
What about businesses who are looking for new banks? Small businesses, they need a bank to agree to help with these forgivable loans. But plenty of banks have announced during the first round of funding that they weren't accepting any more applications. Is there anything that your organization can do to put pressure on these lenders who are refusing to take on new clients?
A lender, you know, they have only so many loan officers at a bank. They can only process so many loan applications a day. They have limitations on what they can do. You can apply pressures to lenders, say you should do more or you should do this. If you've only got two staff members that can upload documents into the system, you only have limited resources to deal with the situation. So I think what's important, again, for everyone to understand, is people are working their hearts out. Our lenders are working their hearts out. Our SBA offices are working their hearts out to deal with what I will describe as an impossible situation. Applying pressure to a bank saying, you know, you should do this, you should do that, it doesn't solve anything. The lenders are not being selfish. The lenders are not being greedy. The lenders are doing what they can do with the resources that they have and the information they have as fast as they possibly can. I think reaching out to the lenders, building a relationship, finding those connections and finding a lender that you can work with and that will work with you, taking the effort to do that is really kind of almost the only pathway right now for that PPP loan. It's going to have to be finding them, connecting them, and getting your application in.
So finally, let me ask you this. Do you think some of these demands for the state to reopen is happening because the federal money for businesses don't seem to be reaching the ground here?
I think there's additional pressure definitely to reopen as soon as possible. We're hearing from a lot of clients and individuals that are desperate. They're losing their dreams. They're losing these family businesses, and we're experiencing that. One of the things I do want to make sure that people are aware, there's still some additional stuff that we're waiting for to come into play. And one of those is going to be the unemployment for our sole proprietors, gig economy workers, and our independent contractors. And so that's not a loan. That's the unemployment insurance so they can get that unemployment check every week to weather the storm.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. I want to thank you for coming on to the show. He's Russell Weirich, Executive State Director of the New Mexico Small Business Development Center. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Here with me now is Carmela Martinez. She is the director for the Income Support Division. We're here to talk SNAP benefits. So let me ask you, so ISD is providing extra SNAP benefits in March and April. How much extra are people seeing?
For the month of March, we distributed just shy of $23 million of extra benefits.
Okay.
For the month of April, around 127,000 households received an extra benefit, and that was just shy of $22.5 million.
Do you all plan to do this again in May?
So actually, we just received some federal guidance from our partner. Again, this is Food and Nutrition Services at the federal level, indicating that states can apply for additional supplements that would follow the same methodology. And New Mexico has submitted a request, and we're waiting for that to be approved.
Okay. Does the state have a plan if extra federal money doesn't come through in the future?
So from our perspective, SNAP is a 100% federal match.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that the benefit comes down directly from the feds at 100%. So the state doesn't have to do any type of match for the benefit. So as of right now, we are comfortable with working with our partners and exercising all the eligibility waivers, et cetera, we can to increase our food stamp benefit. There is no concern that we've heard of at this point, but we would make sure that every New Mexican receives timely and accurate benefits.
Now, have you all seen a flood of applications since the shutdown began?
We have seen an increase of applications. I only pulled data specific to our SNAP. And in February to February, so if we look at that average over the over a year, we received just shy of 18,000 applications every month on the average.
Yeah.
The applications we received in March since the public health emergency, just that one month alone, was just over 23,000. So that's a substantial increase of requests for food assistance. Now remember, income support also handles cash assistance, LIHEAP, which is an energy program, Medicaid eligibility, et cetera. But this is the SNAP need, and we've been able to meet the demand for that very well with the staff that we have. And we've also increased our food delivery. There's also a food emergency food assistance program called TFAP, and they provide food boxes. Normally, we have around 130 sites statewide. And based off of the demand and the response for the public health emergency, we've seen an increase to over 400 sites.
Okay. And, you know, people are losing their jobs or they're seeing their hours cut quite suddenly. And, you know, ISD admittedly has had problems in the past turning around applications quickly, but was working to change that. Will you say that that's changed? What's it like right now?
I think that that's changed for over a year now. We've been processing on average statewide at a 98% timeliness statewide. So that's pretty phenomenal. And we've actually seen the turnaround time for application processing increase. We have about 96% of our staff now teleworking in order to decrease the spread of COVID-19. And because of that, we've actually seen an increase in our productivity.
All right. And what do you most want people to know?
What I want people to know is apply, please.
Okay.
Don't hesitate.
Excellent. I want to thank you so much for the work that you're doing and thank you for coming on the show. She's Carmela Martinez, Income Support Division Director. Thank you again.
Thank you. Have a great day.
As we've talked about throughout the show today, relief money promised by the federal government isn't reaching a lot of people and the businesses who need it. And as funds run low, we've started seeing groups across the country protesting state shutdowns, despite the continuing spread of the coronavirus and the climbing death toll. The issue has been heavily politicized and divisive. Take Back New Mexico on Monday began calling for the state to reopen, and it's supported by the state's Republican Party, according to one of its organizers, Orion Perry, who spoke with KUNM's Nash Jones.
What is the Take Back New Mexico action calling for today?
Stop begging for permission to live your life. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
And so can you tell me more about why you've organized the action that you have?
So it started out, I saw a live feed for a Zoom conference for the Republican Party of New Mexico. I saw a lot of chatter on there about we need to stop asking for permission. So I just went ahead and made the event page. The Republican Party did say that they were 100% for it. They actually helped with a little bit of the organization.
What was their role in supporting it?
Well, they made up the form for the businesses to fill out.
Why should small businesses across New Mexico open even if ordered shut by the public health order?
Well, I mean, they can implement social distancing in their stores. We can act as responsible adults without hurting people's livelihoods and destroying businesses. I know of a few business owners that have said that they're not even going to be able to open back up because they've gotten so far behind because of this.
I'd love to hear more about what you're hearing from other small local businesses that have been ordered shut.
My dad, for example, is a small business owner. He owns a furniture store here in Clovis. He's had to adapt a little bit. They've told him that he can do deliveries, but the fact that Walmart sells a lot of the same stuff he does, people can just go to Walmart and look at it and pick what they want and get it. And so he's lost a lot of business over all of this, and a lot of businesses in that predicament didn't even get involved in the payroll protection that they were talking about because it ran out of money so quick.
The governor penned a letter to New Mexicans that if we open too soon, more people will get sick, the healthcare system will be overwhelmed, and another closure may need to happen, which would result in extending the economic pain that we're going through right now. What are your thoughts on what the governor's position is?
She's just really out of touch with a lot of things in rural life, I guess you could say.
Like what kind of things?
Like in Clovis, for example, we have had 10 cases for I don't know how long now, and we're losing businesses because of it. When all the people that are complaining about it are the same people that are going to Walmart every day and then telling everyone else they need to stay home.
What has the response been like? How many businesses do you have participating?
I don't have a final number at the moment, but I know it was upward of 75-ish the last time I got a number. It's been a pretty decent turnout. Main thing is the fear of legal ramifications later on down the road. A lot of them don't want to have to deal with that part of it.
What is your group willing to do for a business that is cited for violating the public health order?
When we hear of that happening, we let surrounding areas know. The goal is to get people there to protest the shutdown while it's happening. The idea is if there's enough community support, then they're not going to have much to worry about.
And do you think you have enough community support?
For the most part, yeah, I do think so.
And what tells you that? Is that from people commenting on the Facebook group or?
There's actually a lot of people that were worried about being affiliated with the event. So I've talked to a lot of people off of the Facebook as well. And there's been a pretty decent response.
Your attorneys advised you not to release business names. So you've created a Facebook group where a business can affiliate themselves with your action and let folks know that they're open so that people can go there. It doesn't look like so far any businesses have posted publicly that they're participating in your action. Are you concerned about people's hesitance to come out publicly? And will that affect the ability for the community to really rally around these businesses if they don't know who they are?
It makes it difficult, yeah. The little twist this morning with not being able to publicly post, that did kind of put a kink in things a little bit, but it's just a matter of getting the word out a little bit more.
What do you think will get the businesses to actually step up and post in it?
I feel like if at least one business would do it, then more would follow.
After today's launch, what do you have planned for the future of this group?
This is going to be an ongoing deal. There's several other protests that are in the works that are going to kind of show the community support a little bit more and show that more New Mexicans actually do want to reopen the state.
That was KUNM's Nash Jones speaking with Orion Perry, organizer of Take Back New Mexico. As you heard, Perry says the group got backing from New Mexico's Republican Party, but so far, the state's GOP declined to confirm or deny support. Chairman Steve Pierce abruptly canceled an interview with KUNM yesterday. All right, y'all, it's time for resources. You can find a full list of resources we talk about on each episode and opportunities to donate or help online at bit.ly/YNNG Hub. If you're in the need of help or information from the Small Business Administration, head to sba.gov. Click the local assistance link. There you'll find the office closest to you. For information on SNAP benefits, head to Yes New Mexico. That's yes.state.nm or call 800-283-4465. To get enrolled for unemployment, head to dws.state.nm.us/en-us/unemployment. And if you have kids or know someone who does and you want to meet the deadline of 10 a.m. tomorrow morning but have questions, head to the New Mexico Center of Law and Poverty at nmpovertylaw.org. All right, that's it for today. Tomorrow, even more. Your New Mexico Government is executive produced by Marisa DeMarco. It's produced by yours truly. News update by Marisa DeMarco. Many thanks to the team at KUNM. Thanks to Nash Jones for their contributions. Smiley happy faces to Ty Bannerman and Taylor Velasquez for helping out with the editing work. The theme music is by Pope. Yes, yes, y'all. Hear us all week long on KUNM's airwaves at 7:30 p.m. online. Find the show on KUNM.org or subscribe through iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Your New Mexico Government is a collaboration between KUNM, New Mexico PBS, and the Santa Fe Reporter. Funding for our coverage is provided in part by the Thornburg Foundation, the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, the New Mexico Local News Fund, and KUNM listeners like you. For everyone here at Your New Mexico Government, I'm Khalil A. Colonna. Thanks for listening.